Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 329, Live Like Jesus, Part 2, Servant Heart. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, August 6th, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Praise God. Praise God. I love His Word. Don't you just love His Word? I had this sense today that He just wants us to reach out to His Word because that's the thing, one of the things that He uses to transform us, like Sister Elizabeth was talking about, to renew our minds. It's through the Word of God. It's through His power and His presence, but He uses the Word of God. So let's just open wide our hearts today to receive His Word into our hearts because it's that that transforms us. Praise the Lord. All right, so we're going to jump in. We are in, this is the second part of a little series that we started last week called Live Like Jesus. And last week, do you remember what we talked about? Shout it out, somebody. Pride. Humility. Yeah, we talked about having a humble heart like Jesus, that it is possible for us to walk like Jesus on the earth as a humble human being, right? How did Jesus do that? How did He walk in humility? Through deep reverence and obedience to the Father is how He did it, right? Jesus has sent us into the world to live like He lived. John 17, verse 18, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. This is Jesus talking to the Father in His prayer in John 17. Just as you sent me into the world, Father, I am sending them into the world. He sends us to walk humbly like He did. Humility marked Jesus' life. This is a little review, okay? Humility marked His life. And humility is all about understanding who we are, understanding who God is, and understanding who we are not, right? It's having a correct alignment, if you will, of who we are, who God is, and who we are not, that we're based and centered in His love, that we're blessed and highly favored, right? But He is God, and I'm not above Him, and I'm not above anyone else, and I'm not below anybody else, right? We're His dear children, loved by Him. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's important that we have that identity that's healed, an identity that's based on the Word of God, who He says that we are, and then we can walk humbly. Micah 6, verse 8, this was one of our verses last week, says, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what He requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." That's what we endeavor to do. We're on the path as disciples, following Jesus, being transformed by Jesus, and on mission with Jesus. And we endeavor in our hearts to walk humbly with our God. So we're going to pick back up the key scripture that we looked at last time. But this week, we're going to focus on a different aspect, different quality or attribute of Jesus's character that He wants us also to demonstrate and walk with in our lives. So that key scripture is Philippians 2, and we can look at like 6 through 11. It says, "He existed in the form of God, yet He gave no thought to seizing equality with God as His supreme prize." I'm reading from the Passion Translation. "Instead, He emptied Himself of His outward glory by reducing Himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. He humbled Himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in His death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God exalted Him and multiplied His greatness. He has now been given the greatest of all names. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to this name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Lord Yahweh, bringing glory and honor to God, his Father. What a powerful passage of scripture that is. So awesome. So, you know, certainly stands out there the humility of Jesus, as we talked about last week. What is another attribute of Jesus that is shown here? You can answer, or it can just be a rhetorical question. I don't know. What stood out to me was, and there's multiple things, you can see obedience there too, but what stood out to me is the word servant. And of course, I think in the Passion Translation that we read, it does say servant, right? Verse 7, Philippians 2, verse 7 says, instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. The NIV version says it this way. Rather, he made himself nothing. He was God, you guys. He was God, but he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. NLT says it this way. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. I read into 8 that time. So being a servant requires humility. You can see a close link here, right? Those attributes of a humble heart and having a heart to serve, they're closely connected. And you can see that kind of those two things intertwining throughout this passage here. Without humility, genuinely serving another person is going to be very difficult. Or should I say, serving another person in love and with the right heart motive is going to be hard if you're not walking in humility. So it's like humility is a requirement in order to have a servant heart, in order to serve, right? Some other aspects required to serve like Jesus, dying to ourselves. These might not be pretty, and you're going to be like, oh, well, you know, if I said first, who wants to serve? Yeah, and then I give you the requirements. Die to yourself. How many would still have their hands up, you know? Take up your cross and follow me. That's what he says, right? Take up your cross and follow me. Like Pastor Karen said, making God first priority. It's about him, not me. So I'm going to die to myself in order to put serving God and how he wants me to serve probably another person, to bless and serve another person, right? But I have to take myself out of the way as the first, you know, me, myself, and I. Another requirement to serve like Jesus, having a heart of a servant, the spirit of serving, right? We've got to get his heart. Why was it important to Jesus? And we're gonna look at some verses that will tell us that. But having this heart or spirit of serving, of knowing that service is important to Jesus. Just look at his example. Look at his model. That's who he came to be. He came to serve us, right? A third one, giving of your lives. It goes along with, I mean, these are all kind of intertwined. Goes along with dying to yourself. Giving of yourself. Serving another requires generosity, requires giving. If you want to have a spirit of serving, you must learn to give. God the Father, he gave it all. He gave it all. He gave his one and only begotten Son so that we could have abundant life, right? He gave it all to us in the greatest, greatest demonstration of service that ever was Jesus himself, giving himself for us. And another requirement to serve like Jesus is obedience. Jesus carried out the will of his Father, right? Did he want to do that every step of the journey? No, right? Look at the passage in, you know, in the Gospels, read about when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if there's any other way we can do this, take from me this cup, right? But he died to himself, and his conclusion was, not my will, but yours, right? He obeyed. He chose to obey to please the heart of his Father instead of doing what seemed easier. That's a model for us to follow. Are we just doing what seems easier? Or are we laying it all down to obey him? Sometimes we're asked to do things and serve in ways that we don't like, right? Or that we don't think that we're capable or qualified to do. But maybe, you know, maybe somebody asks you to do it. Maybe your cell leader asks you to, I don't know, do something. That, you know, can you help scrub the toilet? What's our obedience in the face of that? Do you know? The obedience to what God says and obedience to what our leaders are maybe ask us to help. Can you serve in this way? Can you do this? It pleases his heart when we obey, when we serve, when we die to ourselves. We're not, you know, the first priority. Me, myself, and I, and that's what I live for. We are willing to take up our cross and follow him. So let's look at Mark 10. James and John, they were a funny bunch, right? They asked Jesus if they could sit on the right hand of the Father, right? Or the right hand on the right hand of him, on the right and on the left, when in glory, it says. And Jesus responded to them saying, well, you don't really know what you're asking. You don't really know what's involved in being in glory, you know, being in that seat of honor. He asked them if they're prepared for the suffering, right? Are you willing to drink the cup of suffering that I drink? We're in Mark 10. Because that's what's involved in getting to that position of glory, like Jesus was required of Jesus. As humans, sometimes we just want the seat of honor. Just give me the title. Just give me the mic. Just give me the position of glory without any sacrifice. Uh-oh. Help us, Jesus, right? What does that show? That's a show of or demonstration of our pride. So then Jesus clears up this argument, because then the other disciples heard this discussion and they got upset and they're arguing there. And so we pick up in Mark 10 verse 41, and it says, when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, this is a teaching moment. He said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Wow, there's a lot in there. Let's take a look at that. Let's unpack that a little bit. Jesus was marking a difference. Right? He marked a difference between the rulers in this world who lord their authority over the ones under them. And just that language of like under, over, that tells you right there, like that shows some pride. I'm over you, you're under me, right? But that's the way the world does it. That's the way it is, the system of this world. They flaunt their authority like I'm boss and you've got to follow me. You got to be subservient to me and just follow me and my orders. That's how it is in the world. But Jesus, wow, didn't Jesus just come and turn everything upside down? I mean, Jesus revolution, right? He just, wow. So he says, if you want to lead people, you must have the heart, This is, in other words, what he's saying. You must have the heart, the spirit, and the mentality to be a servant of those people that you're leading. Not to abuse your authority, not to lord it over them, right? It's not about your high position to rule over people. He's calling there in that place for the disciples and for us. It remains this call that we must be different than the world. We must be different than the world. So he's giving the job description and the requirements for those who want to lead right here. If you want to be a leader, this is what Jesus is saying the requirements are. It says you must be a servant and you must be the slave of everyone else. Wow. Who still wants to sign up to be a leader? You know? I mean, he requires that. That might be tall marching orders, but he's our example. Jesus is our example. And then the last statement there, the last verse, Mark 10:45, it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many." He came not to be served. He could have, because he was king status, right? But as we saw in Philippians 2, he chose, he willingly, voluntarily got rid of his divine nature and became, took on human likeness and became our servant. That's why he came to be our servant, to serve us. Wow, wow, wow. What a paradigm shift, isn't it? It's such a paradigm shift. The world teaches us, what does the world teach us, like in business or just anywhere out there? It's all about self. It's all about me getting ahead and above and like climbing the corporate ladder, and I'm just going to do whatever I want to do to raise myself into a position of fame and power and money. And if I step on other people and abuse other people or take advantage of other people or lie, cheat, and steal, then that's okay because I'm going to get up to the top of the ladder. It's a cutthroat world, right? Oh, I'm thankful for Jesus. Aren't you thankful for Jesus that he says, no, we're going to be different. We're not going to do it like that. We're not going to do it like that. He teaches that in order for us to be great in his kingdom and just great in his eyes, you need to humble yourself and serve others. He's our best example of being a servant leader. And so if you are in a leadership position in any way in your life, in your family, in your workplace, in ministry, you know, at church, and you feel like it's hard, like serving people is hard or whatever, look at Jesus's example and gain strength. Take courage from his example. He empowers us to do and walk in that same way with a heart full of humility and full of service, full of being a servant to others. So let's take a look at Matthew 23, verses 11 and 12. This is in the NLT. And just before this, Jesus is criticizing this whole chapter. He's kind of criticizing, speaking to the Pharisees and the religious leaders that for their hypocrisy, for how they were all talk and not a lot of action, not a lot of love, right? And he calls them, you know, you brood of vipers, it says in that this whole section. And he also calls them whitewashed tombs, like you're just fake. You just put on this fake exterior, but inside you're not living what you're preaching. You're not living what you're reading from the scriptures. So we pick up in verse 11 of this is Matthew 23, verse 11. And he's saying, the greatest among you must be a servant. This is the theme again. The greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Ooh, that'll put us in our place. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Humble yourself under God's righteous, mighty right hand, and he will exalt you in due time, is another scripture. I'm not sure where that is. But just like we said last week, it's a lot better for you to humble yourself and take the nudges from the Holy Spirit, or else you will be humbled, it says. If you're exalting yourself, you will be humbled. My leader used to say, humble yourself, you climb off your high horse, rather than having God knock you off your high horse, because that's not fun. Not fun at all. All right, let's talk about a few obstacles. There's some obstacles to having a victorious servant heart. We want to walk in victory in our life of serving Jesus and serving other people, right? I think that's probably why you're here. Here, hearing the word of God and here worshiping the Lord. So there's some obstacles to this. It has to do a lot with mindsets. It's so, again, so awesome. I'm always in awe of how the Lord puts together the flow of the service and what Sister Elizabeth talked about having our minds renewed. In this topic of service, we must have our minds renewed, because the world does it totally different. But it's the word, how Jesus walked and what he taught, that will lead us. So an obstacle, one that I identified to, you know, walking as a victorious servant of the Lord, is not knowing who you are in Christ. When you don't have your identity in Jesus, then you will be looking for recognition from people, right? And then looking for recognition from people in what you're doing. So your motivation to serve will be off, because you're serving in order that people will applaud you and say, wow, that was so great. That was so good. How do you know this, Pastor Sarah? Because God took me from this. God delivered me from this. My value used to be in what I did. And so if I did something well, I felt really good. And if I messed up with something, I felt like very lowly, because other people were watching me. Not any concern for, God, how did I do in your eyes? Did I obey you? Did I do what you asked me to do to the best of my ability? I mean, that's all we can do, right? But it's that heart motive. We must know who we are in Christ and have an accurate, not more, not less, like we talked about last week, the different kinds of pride, the superior puffed up pride of, look at me, I'm a hot shot and I'm all that and a bag of chips, or, oh, I just can't do anything right, and I'm just so lowly, and, you know, nothing goes right for me. Nobody pays attention to me, and that's inferior pride, or like false humility. And by the way, I have the I typed up the list of the points of pride. Is back there, some back there on the table that I mentioned last week, and it wasn't 50. I got the number wrong. It's like 30 points or whatever it is. And if I didn't print enough, then you can like write somewhere back and get a piece of paper and write your email, and I can email it to you, or I can bring more next week. Our value does not come from what we do. Our value does not come from when I serve well, I've got lots of value, and when I serve wrong or I make a mistake or mess up or something, then I've got little value. No. Your value is in the blood of Jesus. Your life is worth the blood of Jesus. Whether you're having a good day or you're having a bad day, whether it goes well for you and you serve somebody beautifully and everything's executed so well or not, God loves you the same, and your value comes from the blood of Jesus, not through what you do. And when you get that right, then you will serve to please him and to obey and walk to his voice, not so anybody else applauds you. And then your success won't be measured on how well it came out or what other people thought. And that is a really anxious place to be because it changes, right? It goes up and down. Will they like me? And it's not even whether they maybe really liked you or didn't. It's what you think. It's what you suppose that they like or wanted or didn't want or any of that. And you're blown around by every wave and wind. And like a chicken up here going around, right? And so let's get this right, church. Let's get this right that our value is in the blood of Jesus, and we serve because we love him, and we want to show our deep reverence for him, and we want to obey his voice, walk in what he says to do, and our measure of success is, did I obey? Did I obey what he told me to do? And did I do it to the best of my ability? Maybe I'm not super qualified, but he or my, let's say my leader asked me to serve in this way. I did it. I gave it all that I could, and Holy Spirit helped me. And if it didn't come out perfect, hey, that's okay. I'll try again next time. You know, I'll do it again next time and it'll get better. Okay? Praise the Lord. So, our identity. That can be an obstacle, having a wrong identity. Okay, another obstacle is, do you ever notice that we sometimes, help us Jesus, we put like categories, we separate what is secular and what is sacred. And we judge a task or a activity like whether it's, how important it is, whether it is secular or sacred. Let me give you an example. Like based on whether the action, let's say cleaning a toilet, would you say that's sacred or secular? We would probably say, well, that's kind of secular. That, what is that? That's not spiritual. What does that have to do with God and Jesus, scrubbing a toilet? So then because we put it in that category, then we think, well, that's not important. So anybody who's scrubbing a toilet, then we say, well, they're just really lowly. Like they're like a caste system. They're like real down here because they're scrubbing a toilet. Because we have this mentality of compartments of what is important and what deserves, you know, honor and dignity, and what is like a really lowly, you know, not nice, you know, being a garbage man or something, you know, picking up the trash in the city. That is important, guys. You know, that is important. The person that cleans the toilets at the airport, bless my husband, Lord. Well, he's in a different position now, but he scrubbed those toilets with so much humility and never complained about it at all. And you'd find him at the airport whistling through the airport. Somebody would tell me, I saw your husband and he was having to wear a mask and he was just whistling through the airport. I couldn't see his smile under the mask, but I knew he was smiling and he was whistling there and he's going to scrub the people's toilet, you know, and pick up all the toilet paper that people leave on the floor and all these things. It's not about what is, you know, this ranking that we do of, well, if you're up here preaching, that's more important, and you're this high, you've got like a really high position or high role, and we should honor you more than when you're scrubbing the toilet. And when you're scrubbing the toilet, you're just nothing. No, we get it all wrong. We get it all wrong. Serving in any way, shape, or form, it's beautiful. And it's spiritual. Everything we do, when you are scrubbing out your bathtub at home, cleaning your house, you're serving your family. And in a way, you can be serving God because you're serving his beloved, your family members, right? And so serving with the right heart, it comes from the heart of the Lord. I had a revelation of this. A lot of what my heart for serving has come largely from my years that I spent as a full-time missionary in Argentina and with Youth with a Mission. And man, I mean, I learned this the hard way sometimes. But I remember one particular day, and this was in the beginning of my 7 years there, so I didn't quite have a renewed mind yet. And we would have work duties, trabajo práctico, every day, 2 o'clock or whatever time it was, you know, after lunch when, you know, that's like so tired, like I want to take a nap after lunch, right? No, everyone meet out in the field and we're going to split up the chores, the jobs, and that's how we kept the base clean. We're all, you know, we live in community, right? And so you would get assigned these tasks. And actually, I don't even think this was trabajo práctico, like the work time. This was given to me like during the work day, like early in the morning, because I was part of the hospitality team. And so I learned a lot about serving with a right heart. But some days I didn't start out with a right heart. And so they asked me to, they had to do some painting. And there was like old paint on like around these windows, and I had to scrape the paint off, right? Glorious missionary work, suffering for Jesus, and here I am with a little whatever knife or chisel thing, and I'm scraping the paint, and I'm like grumbling in my heart, and I'm like, why am I doing this? Nah, this doesn't mean anything. And I thought my, you know, going to the mission field was going to be different than this, and you know. And one of my leaders walked by, moved by the Holy Spirit for sure. And all she said to me, what you're doing is so spiritual. That's awesome. Keep it up. And walked on by. And I was like, what? I'm scraping paint out here. This is like the most tedious thing ever. Like, what do you mean this is spiritual? Like, how is this spiritual? And I began to think about that and like, Holy Spirit, how is this spiritual? Like, what does this really mean? And my conclusion was, like, this is important. It's spiritual because we are spirit beings and we're connected to Him, and He wants us to be connected to Him, open communication lines to Him, no matter what we're doing. And so, and at that time, I think, you know, I didn't have this clear, I'll say, healed identity. So I felt like less because I was scraping paint, right? And I was judging what I was doing, that would equal my, you know, my value on a particular day. Well, that goes up and down, right? And so, wow, it was spiritual because God cared about me, and God cared about me serving with a right heart. So, wow, I just remember that comment of hers. That is so spiritual. Because then when you have a mindset of you're serving God, and you, what you are doing is having an impact, even if you're scrubbing a toilet or you're scraping paint and it seems really tedious, do it all for the glory of the Lord, right? And so then things began to change. And I remember in the hospitality team, we would prepare the rooms for, sometimes we would have like conferences and lots of people, like all over Argentina, the different YWAM bases would come, or even the different countries, because that base was very large and it was like a big campus with lots of different buildings and stuff. And so we would paint and get things ready. And so that was part of the hospitality team. And the hospitality team was also preparing rooms to receive guest ministers that came and things. And so as my mind began to shift, my mentality changed, and I understood that serving was a privilege, and serving was a way for me to honor God, and that what I was doing had an impact in the spiritual world. I began to like pray over the rooms and like anoint the rooms and pray and bless the ministers, and it became fun, not like a drudgery and thinking that, oh, I'm nothing because I'm out here doing this. No, God's asking me to do this. My leaders asked me to do this. So I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it for the glory of God. And then it becomes fun, even if you are doing something that's scrubbing a toilet or something, washing dishes, whatever task you really don't like, you know, vacuuming or, you know, whatever. Put your heart into it and ask God to help you serve with a right heart, with a right motive, the way He sees what you're doing, knowing that your value is in Him, not coming from what you're doing, and serving will be a lot more joyful. And it'll give Him, the glory goes back to Him. Okay, so let's look at, we talked about this a little bit, but the path to victory. How do I get right then? How do I serve with a right heart and getting those obstacles out of the way? Romans 12:2, right? We know this. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then what? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's such a revelation. We need this revelation that Jesus served us in the greatest way possible by giving us his life. When we really get a revelation of that, then your heart for service will grow. It's just like when you understand how much you're loved, then you're able to love others. When you have a deep revelation, an encounter with his forgiveness in your life, then you're able to forgive others. So when you understand that how he came to serve you, you will be able to serve others with a right heart. Just think about it. You know, he came as a servant king. He was king. King of all the universe, creator of the universe. Father God, right, sent his son so that he could be our servant. He took off his divine nature to take on the humble form of a human being, to serve so that you could have abundant life, all because he loves you. So when that really hits your heart, you will think differently. You will serve differently. Jesus took on cleaning us, right? Cleaning or redeeming our sin, which we were steeped in, that had nothing to do with him. He was without sin. He was blameless, right? He was the spotless lamb. But guess what? He said, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll clean her mess, even though it's not my mess. And that's what a heart of service is saying. I'll go. I'll carry the water. I'll serve. I'll clean up the mess, even though it's not my mess that I made. He took responsibility for us and our sin. Wow. Wow, wow. So, like I said, when we understand that, then we will serve however he leads and however we're asked. And where you see a need, you'll begin to see needs that you didn't see before. And like, oh, you could take initiative to serve even if you're not asked. Like God might, you know, open your eyes to see, oh, this needs to be done. In my workplace, nobody's doing this. This needs to be done. Hey, boss, can I help out in this way? Can I do this? Sure, I'll clean the toilets. Let me do it, because that action doesn't change my worth, right? I'm no less when I'm scrubbing the toilet than when I'm standing up here preaching a message, right? I know who I am, and I know whose I am. Like, I know who I belong to, right? And so we can serve in the correct way with an amazing heart, and that is powerful. That is a powerful example to the people in your workplace, to your family members, to those around you. When you serve with that right heart. All right, here's some questions to reflect on to help you get your motivation right. What is my motivation when I serve or do something to help another person? Like, why am I doing this really? Am I doing it to, you know, make myself feel better? You know, am I trying to get brownie points? Am I trying to get, you know, affirmation or attention from others? Am I trying to, you know, whatever. What is, or am I honestly, I see a need and I want to help. I see this person struggling and I want to bless them. So what is my motivation? You can, you know, ask the Holy Spirit, what is my motivation really for serving in this way or doing XYZ? Two, what thought have I struggled with or lie have I believed that prevents me from serving with joy and with freedom? You know, maybe you identified with like, wow, I really need to be renewed in my mind with this, you know, like categories of what's important and what's secular and what's worldly and what's not, and what's, I see things as less or greater because of what, you know, I view or what the world views is their worth. And then I judge, you know, I see somebody doing that job and then I judge them. So maybe there's a lie or thought about that that we need to have renewed. If you ask the Holy Spirit, he'll show you if there is something. The third one, how does the Lord want to change that then? How does he want to change that in me? That's like how to apply it then. Like, then what practical step or effort can I take to serve and give my life with victory? We're going for victory here. We're going after Jesus. Praise the Lord. Serving is such a great demonstration of love. When you humble yourself, you serve another person. It's such a demonstration of love. You know, when you do an action, it speaks louder than words. And wow, doesn't the world out there, a lot of people, whether they know Jesus or maybe they have been, you know, backslidden, they once knew him, people have had a lot of talk or preached to them, but maybe they don't see action. They haven't experienced the love of Jesus. And we're the hands and feet. We get to lay our lives down to be able to be a vessel so that somebody else can be blessed and touched, right? So service is action that you can see. It's love that you can see in a physical, tangible way. People need to experience that. People need to experience the love of Jesus through your act of service, right? And not just hear you talk about it, not just hear you like preach at your unsaved family members, but to live it, to walk it out, to serve them in love, and to listen when the Holy Spirit says to serve in XYZ way, and to speak when he says to speak in XYZ way. Then we're eliminating just that. Rah, rah, rah. That's how it would maybe us preaching at somebody, like a family member that's not saved. I get it. We want them to be saved. But when we just speak out of our flesh and just speak out of our own agenda, got to get them saved, then to them it sounds rah, 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 and they just tune us right out. But it is different when you are listening to the Holy Spirit and he says, now, say this. It is powerful. That is powerful. And that, you speaking the truth in love, in the timing of the Holy Spirit, that's a way of service. That's an act of service to your family member, because you died to yourself because your flesh wanted to just preach at them and get them saved, lay hands on them suddenly, have it all be, you know, right? Can I get an amen? You're following? Okay, praise the Lord. One time, I remember this, on the streets of Buenos Aires, when I lived in Buenos Aires, I think the Lord showed us to do this. We had an evangelistic team, and I was leading the evangelistic street outreach team, and we would go out and minister the gospel and pray for people. And a few times, I remember the Lord said, go out to the streets of Buenos Aires, and you're not going to lead with like praying and sharing the gospel. You're going to lead with trash bags. Go with trash bags and pick up trash in the streets of Buenos Aires. And I was like, okay, this is different, but we'll do it, Lord. And so that's what we did. And some people stopped and some people just looked at us. And it was really an interesting experiment of human behavior. And I remember debriefing when we got back, you know, the team, and man, it was like, wow, we got some dirty looks, you know, like janitor, cleaning, custodial, garbage men, people don't maybe get a lot of thanks, don't get a lot of honor. But it was like the Lord spoke to us, and through doing that, was saying, like, it was a prophetic act of us declaring the servanthood and the love of Jesus over the people of Buenos Aires, because it wasn't our mess that we had made. But he said, just like it wasn't Jesus's mess, right? And so by us going to pick up the trash, it was like us walking in that humility and that service, and us dying to ourselves to just say, we're just going to do this, even though we didn't throw that trash there. We picked it up. We took responsibility for it. And some people did stop and ask us and talk to us and say, what are you doing? And we talked to them and had conversations, and then we'd share the gospel. You know, we did that when God allowed. But otherwise, the task that day was to just pick up trash and do that, because it was also working on our hearts of this thing of service. It was powerful. Okay. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. There's so many. And I know for sake of time, I'm just going to summarize this. But Jesus washed the disciples' feet. There's so much. I'll finish my sentence. There's so many examples in the Bible of service, of acts of service by Jesus, by the disciples, by others. And so, you know, when we see the account in John, let's look at John 13, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. What a true act of humility and servanthood. You know, in the days of Jesus, walking on dirt roads with sandals, you know, feet were pretty dirty, dusty, right? And it was protocol to wash your feet before a meal. And who would wash the feet? The servants would wash the feet. So the fact that Jesus said he was going to wash his disciples' feet, you know, Peter was like, no, you know, I'm not worthy. You're like, you can't wash my feet. But let's see what he says here in response. John 13, 14 through 17, he says, and since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Wow, it's taking all the love, the sacrifice, and the values that Jesus showed us and doing something with it. When we serve others, when we wash their feet, right? Church, let's not stay with the love that Jesus has showed us locked inside of us for nobody to see, right? That's selfish. Let's let his love out. Let's lavish the love that we've received from him on other people. Let's be a blessing that when we obey his voice, the voice of a stranger we will not follow, then we will be a blessing. We die to ourselves, and the love of Jesus like courses through us to bless somebody else as we serve. Let's not be Christians who just talk about the love of Jesus, but then just sit in the seats inside our four walls and we just pat each other on the back and say, kumbaya. I know I'm getting tough. But this is what Jesus called us to do. Go and love a lost and dying world. Go show what I've done for you. And we will do that. We will show what Jesus has done for us and how he came to serve us when we're serving others. Because they'll ask us questions like, what are you doing? Why do you have hope? what's going on, right? I want to share a quick testimony. This was early on in my walk with the Lord. So I received, after my years in Argentina, fast forward, I went to, the Lord took me to the Navajo Indian Reservation. And I was serving there started as a volunteer teacher for a year. And then I stayed for 2 years and worked with the Navajo people. And when I was there, I went out initially with a service organization, and that was run by a certain group. And then the school hired me after that, and I stayed on. But so there was a community of young people that would come from generally back east or different parts of the country to serve. That they would be a volunteer with this organization, just as I had been. And so, you know, we would encourage those volunteers, and there was a community of, and we did a lot of trips together and community times of prayer and different things. And so there was a young man who came as a volunteer with this organization, and he had some difficulties, and he didn't follow the rules of the organization. So he was let go because he, I'll just say his flesh got in the way. We'll say it like that. And so it was a struggle for him because he loved the school. He loved the Navajo people. He wanted to stay out there. And he was exploring then, since the organization let him go, if he could stay and still volunteer at the school, still work there, you know, volunteering and giving to the kids. And so at that time, my friend Katie and I had just been saved, not to probably the previous year, and we were living in a home, a trailer, and it was really nice on the reservation. And I was blessed. I had a glorious, like, suite of a bedroom, and it was on one side of the of this home, and it was a master suite, and it had like its own bathroom and like jacuzzi tub, and it was beautiful, a big walk-in closet. I mean, it was like, wow, what did I do to deserve this, you know? It was a princess suite, really. And my friend Katie lived on the other side of the trailer, and there were two small bedrooms. One of them was empty, but she was in one, and then there was a little bathroom. And the reason I tell you the layout is because Katie came to me one day, and we're new believers, like under a year old, and she said to me, she said, I think the Lord is telling me to invite this guy, we'll call him Johnny, to invite him. Oh, we're not on live stream today, so okay, it doesn't matter so much. I'm just trying to protect identities and stuff here. You know, to invite, I think the Lord is saying for us to invite him to come live with us. And I was like, wait, what? Mic drop, what? And I'll just say this, you know, I wouldn't recommend this because we're girls and he's a guy. And but at the time that we were living, and our walk at that point with the Lord, Katie just had this really strong conviction that that's what the Lord was saying. And so, you know, I went away and prayed and felt like, okay, that's what we need to do. And like I said, I wouldn't recommend that. But the point of the story is she felt she had heard from God. And the thing was, God wanted to use us to serve this guy. Right. And so in order for that to work, like, we recognize, well, like, they're not going to be next in the little small rooms with the little bathroom and share a bathroom. So that meant, guess who had to give up her princess master suite? And that's what we gave to him. Right. This is a guy that broke the rules, you know, disobeyed, got kicked out of the organization. And it was a stretch for me. It seems silly now, like material things, but it was hard for me because it was like I had to die to myself to show love to this guy. And we had founded a church. We both recommitted our lives to Jesus, Katie and I. And so we were sharing Jesus with him, and we started to bring him to church. But we didn't just talk to him about Jesus. This happened, right? And God said, okay, yes, do this. So I gave up that master suite, and he had that whole nice pad down there. And I moved into the tiny little room next to Katie, and she and I shared a bathroom. The thing was, it touched his life in a really profound way. And I will never forget, on the last day, we were like all moving out and going our separate ways. I think maybe that was the year I was moving back east to New York. And This was before Argentina. I think I said it wrong. This was after Argentina. This was before I went to Argentina. And so I just remember sitting with Katie and with this guy, and he said, thank you. Like, with tears in his eyes, he said, thank you, guys. Like, nobody else wanted me. I felt rejected. I know I had messed up, but you guys not only talked to me about Jesus, you showed me the love of Jesus and what you guys did. And I know the sacrifice that you guys made to have me. It really means a lot. And that just, wow, that spoke volumes. You know, we don't serve, we don't show Jesus's love so that somebody will say thank you. We do it because when we have conviction that that's what he tells us to do, right? But wow, it was awesome to see that it had touched, that God used it to touch his life and to do something in his heart. And so praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But girls and guys, don't be inviting the opposite sex to live in your place with you. But anyways, for where I was at the moment, praise the Lord, he used it. He used it. So I just, we'll just end here, but I just want to encourage us as a church to press into the heart of God, to seek revelation in this area of who are you, Jesus, my servant King. Give me revelation of how you serve me so that I can have a right heart and a right mind about serving others and be a channel for the blessing and the love and the grace and the strength to pour out through me to other people. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you that you humbled yourself, that you came to serve us in such a powerful way. Father, I pray for a revelation over every heart and every life under the sound of my voice, a revelation of how you came to serve us, what you did on the cross, and what that has meant for our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for your deep love, your deep sacrifice, your blood shed on the cross so that we could experience your abundant life. Thank you that you came and washed our feet, and you continue to wash our feet daily. You continue to be our best servant. You are our model. Help us, Father, to get things right, that we have a right identity of who we are, that we're not any more, that we're not any less than anyone else. Thank you that you are God and I am not. We submit ourselves under your righteous right hand. And Father, we say, here we are, send us. We want to be used as servants of agents of your change, of your transformation, of your salvation power in people's lives. But thank you. Thank you for helping us to be victorious in the way we serve others, the way we serve you, and the way we serve others. And I thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.